نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اللهم اعطنا بقران مجيد واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد المهاجر والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد.
If the insan, if the human being was to realize and find out that something is not good for me, will give me a loss, and I can get a lot of loss from this thing, whether it's a sickness, an illness, or a condition. So the person of understanding at that time, he will have fikr, concern, and he'll try to save himself from that thing. He'll think about it, he'll have concern for it, he'll be cautious. Just like nowadays, in this day and age, there are lots of different sicknesses prevalent. Every day you hear about a different disease or a sickness. And there are even various forms of coronavirus, there are various types of cancer. So whenever a sickness arises or rears its head, then, for example, after some days a vaccination is formed, like the flu vaccination, so that people can be saved. This is a dunyawi principle and fact. But the real point is, if we draw from this, that we should not forget. Because maut, death, everybody is aware and remembers that death is there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also, via His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, time and time again, repeatedly they reminded us. Allah ta'ala explained to us, made us aware in the whole Quran. And not just one verse, the whole Quran, it's the knowledge is then the hadith have told us. And what is it Allah Ta'ala has told us to be saved from? And that is the fire of Jahannam, the fire of hell. And there can be no fire like hellfire. No fire in this world can be similar. No heat, no fire can be like this. Allah knows what is that fire. The way that Allah Ta'ala has kindled that fire, how that fire spreads, how that fire burns. It is so dangerous, that fire, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has time and time again to insan repeated and reminded us that be saved from this fire. Save yourself from this fire. And Allah Ta'ala has explained the condition of that fire, the circumstances around that fire. Everything Allah has explained clearly, crystal clear. So when it's such an important fact in front of us, then my brothers, these sicknesses around us, the biggest sickness is that. that even if a sickness comes, a disease comes, and we don't protect, then the conclusion is death, isn't it? But death is going to come anyway. But this is such an issue, Jahannam, hell, that if a person goes into there once, then nothing can save him from that fire, and he cannot be saved from that fire. So it's a big, big delusion of the human being, a big, big veil on across the mind, and that's this dunya, this world. The dunya is the biggest deception in front of us that doesn't allow us to think and ponder. So the most important thing a human being should be doing is that, for example, you have a flu, you do injections, vaccinations to save yourself from sickness. But the people of understanding are those, the people of wisdom are those who think about this. Who Allah Ta'ala has praised in the Quran. That how can you be safe from this fire? Obviously, there are reasons for everything. Obviously, there are reasons for everything. If Allah throws somebody into the fire, the human being goes into that fire, there are reasons for that. There will be reasons for that. That all the reasons, the focal point of all of that, and Allah Ta'ala has given that name, sin. And the example of that we read in the Quranic verses, that even if it's a particle's weight of sin a person has committed, he will get the punishment. And how dare a particle come in front of us, but that is the fact. Oh, we say it's a small sin. Okay, it's a sin, but even if it's a small particle size of sin, yes, it's a sin. Even if it's good, if it's a particle size of good, it will have a value. So khair is there, and shar, evil, that also has the same measurement gauge. So to be saved from that fire of hell, the reasons that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, so the reason why a person goes to hell is due to sin. The reason why a person goes to hell is due to sin. Sin is what takes a person off the track. One particle size of sin, if you have it, it will not allow that person to go into Jannah, paradise, because paradise is pure. One particle size of sin, Allah Ta'ala says, fine. First purify it, then you get Jannah. It's a small sin, there's a particle size of sin attached to you. Where does it get washed? Subhanallah. Today, Allah Ta'ala has prepared a solution that on earth to the heavens, even if you have sins stacked up to the sky, how can you wash them today? You can clean them by having regret and running back to Allah and repenting. You can wash the sins. That's how easy it is, my friends. So simple. And tomorrow, one particle size of sin, the same one, that today we have no weight on that, but tomorrow how will that be washed and purified? That will not be clean tomorrow. Where will it be purified? In that fire which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, the fire of Jahannam. That we cannot imagine what is that fire. In that fire a person will go, he will burn, the fire will purify him, then Allah will say, take him out. Then he can go into paradise. So, he's got the seal of hell, isn't it? What will happen then when he goes into Jannah after that? So these are realistic points that we're discussing. Think about it, you all mashallah people of understanding and wisdom. I'm not telling you, there's no need for me to tell you. I am repeating and revising to myself this story, this fact. What will happen to us tomorrow? Think. And today, there's the solution. Now. So the sin to the human being, sin, guna, it is a very dangerous thing for the human being. If you want to be saved, then save yourself today from the sin. Not tomorrow. Nafs and shaitan, they will not give us the importance of this fact, but these gatherings, they will create the importance of these facts and create an understanding with these gatherings we sit in. Allah Ta'ala helps the person then. Remember this. So in this, the effort we need to make to be saved. Look, there are two things. One is to do, and one is to be saved. So you have both responsibilities. Both responsibilities. To do, what do we need to do? What do we need to implement? The amal, the deeds that will deliver us and take us to paradise. That's what we need to do. And the things that we don't need to do, shouldn't do, are those that will take us to hell. That's it. Subhanallah. So these are the two facts in front of us. So if you assess now both, then which direction are we more biased towards? We're biased towards more do this, do that, this action, this reward, do that, this quantity, practice this, do this. But the actions that we're not meant to do, we don't pay attention to those. We don't. Very seldom do we pay attention to them. Rather, you could say it's non-existent. Despite the fact, why do we practice deeds? I'll get Jannah, Allah's love I'll get, Allah's nearness I'll get walayat, I'll be wali Allah, I'll be pious. All the rewards Allah Ta'ala has given for good deeds, I'm doing those deeds for these reasons. But in reality, the actions that we shouldn't do, and if you don't do them, the actions we shouldn't do, in other words, to be saved from hell, that effort, that makes you more closer to Allah. If you don't do those actions that Allah says don't do, that effort draws you closer to Allah. The action, the effort that you implement to be saved from hell takes you closer to Allah. That effort does. Irfan of marifah of Allah, you get more in the effort, through the effort to save you from hell. Qurb of Allah, nearness to Allah, you'll get more through the effort. Allah will be more happy through those actions of preventing Jahannam, because this is the test of the human being in the world. We have been sent to, not just to do, but to prevent and leave those actions that will lead to hell. Inshallah, you'll understand what I'm saying. But such a trick that has been played with us today, such a trick, that our focus is placed towards doing, the actions for doing. And even if we collect all of them and take them with us to the hereafter, even if we do, then the sins that will be there, they will destroy and burn away those actions. La tubtulu amwalukum, Allah Ta'ala says that you are wasting your good deeds. Allah says you're wasting your good deeds. By disobeying, you are wasting your good deeds. So, if a person doesn't do the actions that Allah says they are prohibited, and put more of it on that, yeah, even if he just practices the faraid, the compulsory actions, then alhamdulillah, that person will reach to the heights of marifah and irfan of Allah. The doors will open. And Allah's nearness is attained by doing it this way. By doing this. And let me explain this to you. By leaving the things that Allah has prohibited, this is how you get close to Allah. The human being, if he prays 5 times salah, and if he puts full effort into, I'm not going to commit any sin, then he'll become so lightweight, so pure, he'll start to float in the air. That's how good he'll become. Look at this point. But you can do so much ibadah, worship, tahajjud, ishraq, recite this, do this, pray that. But if your sins are still there, the sin, it makes him feel heavy. I'm not enjoying myself. I pray salah. He stays heavy all the time, burdened. Then he thinks, even despite all the ibadah I do, why am I so heavy? He complains, what's this weight on me, this burden? Why am I so heavy? Burdensome. You don't understand what I'm saying? He feels that he doesn't feel good, comfortable. So the action of leaving the prohibited actions, that's what we need to focus on. Yes, the Kamilin Sheikh, that's what they emphasize on more. That's what they emphasize on more. In the Khanqah, they seat the students for this reason. And they do tarbiyah to the students to leave the prohibited. Tazkiyah is what this is defined as. Tazkiyah. And successful is the individual who does tazkiyah. Remember this point. Remember this. In this world and in the hereafter. Most of all, the people will go to hell will be due to which sin? Which sin is it that will take people towards Jahannam? Which sins or sin will it be? There are many sins, aren't there? Tell me, which sin will be the one the strongest that will take people in a rush to Jahannam? Big shot people. high grade, people's status. What sin is it? They'll also be dragged into hell, all of them. What sin is that? Which sins will take a person to Jahannam? They are, my friends, the sins related to akhlaq. Which sins? Related to akhlaq, conduct, manners, behavior, behaviorally. Backbiting against somebody, or consuming someone's wealth, or oppressing somebody, or taking somebody's rights, killing somebody's rights, to slander somebody, if you've got malice in your heart against somebody, envy against somebody, pride, if you've got. These sins that are implemented, that there will be more people going to hell with these sins. Ibadat, it will be less sins related to not doing ibadah, more related to these sins. And you will see that there Allah is Allah's mercy on one hand. For example, that one thing that deceives us, and that's why we committed sin. Oh, I'm Haji, I've done Umrah, I'm pious, I'm going again. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, I've done this and that, doesn't matter. Yes? And we make an excuse. Oh, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful. This is what we say, isn't it, when we commit the sin? Then listen to this as well. That the akhlaqi sins are so severe, the akhlaqi sins are so severe, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sins related to me, my worship, etc., I'll ignore those. From some excuse Allah will seek, and a person will get out of that trap. Oh, he's got less salah, let's just put some nawafil into his record books and get him out of the problem. Allah ta'ala has, with his punishment, he'll be light with his deeds to his brother. But if the akhlaqi sins, Allah will say, go, the person you backbited against, first seek his forgiveness, then come back to me. The person you are envious against, when he forgives you, then I'll forgive you. Allah says, until then I won't forgive you. Imagine here which sins are more severe now. Allah Ta'ala has said, oh, no worries, I'll let him off the worship and that. Allah says, I'm Qadir, I could, but look at the principle Allah has placed. Allah says, go and get forgiveness from that person whose haqq that you usurped, the rights of that person. The person with whom you committed oppression, you did wrong against that person, you degraded his honor. Behind his back, you did disrespect. And for you it's nothing, Allah says. Oh, I'm namazi, I'm haji, I'm pious. Doesn't matter if I say something to somebody, people say anger, pride, envy, ghibat, backbiting, Allahu Akbar. Taking people's maal, wealth, consuming it. So Allah Ta'ala is soft with regards to his mu'amalat, but akhlaqi sins related to behavior and conduct and manners, no, Allah will not let off. So my friends, let's balance it out now. The concern, there's a pedestal of concern here, yeah? A platform of concern. Where should our concern be biased more towards? Towards leaving the sins, saving ourselves from the sins. So today, the conditions that are around us on the ummah, when the ummah is faced by severities, then we start thinking, we start saying, we start shouting, and we start screaming, we are aware this, our salah, our hajj, our ibadah, worship, we do this as well, we do this as well. And we start speaking, why are we being oppressed? This, the reason for this is this, that shaitan and nafs has put a veil, a curtain across the wrong. The veil has been put across, so the effort to leave these sins is now disappeared. You can analyze. Go to any masjid. Let's analyze. This part of the deen, how many people are making effort? Which jamaat, which group is putting effort? We say it, but this requires massive effort. Lot of hard work is required to emphasize. To become a tahajjud guzar, it doesn't take long for you to start praying tahajjud regularly. To start playing tahajjud regularly, I speak about the nafal salah here. Nafal salah. It doesn't take long for you to pray. Ramadan will come, everybody will start praying tahajjud in Ramadan. Inshallah, you'll become habitual, then it will carry on after Ramadan as well. You'll carry on praying tahajjud, because it'll be easy to be habitual. But to leave lying, it may take your whole life to leave the lying. Say subhanallah. To look at somebody in the wrong way, using your eyes in the wrong way, may take your whole life. To leave backbiting, it may take your whole life. But backbiting doesn't get eliminated. What is this? What's affecting the ummah? Why are we having these issues around us? Why? Because today in our muamalat there's no concern, no fikr, no hard work, no effort with regards to leaving the vice. Nothing at all. Because by leaving the sins, we can't show people, can we? We can't show to people, can we? There's no fame, there's no piety. Where there's piety? Oh, Haji Saab. Oh, when Marshall comes from Hajj, put the flowers around his neck, Mubarak, and he's going to drink Zamzam and Khajur and dates. And so he's come from Umrah, Marshall, your face is blessed, he's got fame, he's pious. But a person leaves backbiting, who asked that poor person what he's done? Nobody knows that he's left backbiting, say Subhanallah. So how is he going to get congratulated? Oh, but rather the action he's doing is high level. The Allah Ta'ala says, I've opened the doors of my love for that person to leave the sins. One sin, if you leave it, so much it draws you near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so quickly, so close you get drawn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by leaving one sin. They cannot imagine how close you get to Allah. Is this the case or not? Tell me. So the reason, the main part of our life, and the ummah that's been afflicted by these issues, that the ummah has eliminated this main part of the life. Eliminated it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah says, O people of man. Allah says, Ya ayyuhannas. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. La yaskharu. La tanabazu. La talmazu. لا تجسسوا يكتب بعد على بعد. Allah says, well, then, look at the points. Allah's making the whole list Allah's giving in this verse. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah gives the punishment, severe, for this sin. Direct into hell. Allah says, direct into hell due to these sins. Yes, there will be no forgiveness. Why? Allah says, لا يَسْخَرُ. What is يَسْخَرُ? Now look here, that in society, let's look in our homes at these sins. Don't just look around at people around in society. What's the condition of sins in our home? Allah says, beware, don't joke against somebody. Don't make fun of somebody, Allah Ta'ala says. Yes, don't jest against people and mock people. How common is this today? It's nothing. Rather, it's for us a good pastime to joke against people, to mock people. We say this is not a sin. It's not a sin. I say it's a big sin to mock somebody, to joke against somebody, to make fun of somebody. Allah says that don't give people nicknames. He's bent, he's this, he's black, he's dark, and you say things so people laugh behind that person's back. Today we call people with these nicknames. Oh you like this. We give them a nickname. And the name we've kept, oh, weird types of names we give to people. And titles, bad titles. And in anger we keep those titles, and in joke, in jest we keep those titles, or we criticizing or mocking somebody, making fun of somebody. We give them nicknames or titles. Is this the case? Look at this. Allah Ta'ala is saying here, directly in the Quran, about the behavioral sins, manners, conduct related sins. Don't pick defects in people. Don't slander people. Allah says, beware, don't think bad about somebody, suspicion. Don't suspect somebody. Oh, he did this, he must have done that. There's no other reason, how could he do that? You don't know the facts. Oh no, it can only be him, it can't be anyone else. Oh, only he can do that, such that dirty action. Oh, that person, he did magic on me. He did black magic on me. He destroyed my home. And he destroyed my life. Accusations, oh, due to his bad dua, this happened. Allah says, don't be suspicious. Oh, my mummy, she does black magic. Oh, my uncle, he does that. He done bad dua against me. My brother didn't like this. Behind my back, my mother would have said this. My sister would have said this behind my back. Or my uncle would have said this. This is not Islamic way of life. This is a very big sin. Ulaika humu dhalimun. Who is this? These are the dhalim people, the oppressors, the worst of sins. Allah saying direct jahannam for these people. Hell. Wala tajassasu, subhanallah. Jasusi, do not spy on each other. Don't suspect each other. Don't think negative. What's he doing? Where did he get that from? How did this happen to him? Oh, he must be doing this now. Sitting down. Apart from this, we've got nothing else to do. Relatives, we start from them. We go outside to the people in our neighborhood. We're sitting down. Pakistan will be ground down. The person in Canada will be ground down. The person in Saudi will be ground down. Where should we go to start on people? Just sitting on one place and talking within 5 minutes. You sit. 5 minutes, 30 minutes, especially the women. I seek apologies for this because they're experts at this. They'll make a cup of tea, coffee, two friends, women sitting together. That's it, they stop. Yeah, end of story. La tajassasu, Allah says. Who does that person do? What's his business like? How does he go there? How does he get this? Wa la tajassasu. This is a big sin. Because we need details, isn't it? I'm just giving you the headings, the top line. Summary. Yabdukum. Allah says, Yaktub ba'dukum ala ba'd. And Allah says, backbiting. Allah says, is there anyone who's safe from backbiting? This is not just common people I'm talking about. High grade, learned, pious people do these sins. That's when you realize. High grade, learned, pious people do these actions. Yes, then what will the normal common society do then? The poor souls. Why? Because shaitan, the deeds that they are practicing, he's given them so much confidence. Shaitan has given the people confidence that I am pious, I do good actions. My tahajjud can't spoil my hereafter. I've prayed tahajjud, I'm pious, I've reached, I can't be affected. But it takes a second. When you're backbiting, he's taken all your good deeds. And all your good deeds have evaporated. And when you'll see your deeds evaporating into thin air, yes, and in return with that, when you see your amal flying away, not that you can hide them, Allah's not going to bury them. Today Allah says, prepare now. That Allah Ta'ala, if He's made a principle, now, today, and if Allah has given us preparation, then totally that deed can be evaporated. It's not that something bigger than that Allah Ta'ala has given to us that you can eliminate your sin. No. Oh, tawbah, if you repent, it can wipe away the sins of the whole life. Then will, if you commit a mistake, will all your good deeds not get eliminated? Of course they will. But the point I'm making, why am I discussing this? For this reason, that we need to revive the importance of this in our life. That in our hearts, how much importance is there? How much importance is it that we cannot be saved from the effect of sins? Our deeds will not be able to save us from the effect of our sins. Don't be distracted by the wrong information. Today you will have to work hard today. Make effort today. And in this all we have to do, Allah Ta'ala says, is that you, Allah says, you try, you make a step, and I will help you, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah wants that you just take a step and you realize that this is dangerous for me. The whole list Allah Ta'ala has defined in the Quran, Surah Hujarat, which we are discussing now, Surah Hujarat, this verse, is there. Read it. Learn. Identify the sins. Oh no, I'm already pious, I'm learned, I do good actions. Who is making us think and say this? These sins that don't allow us to be at peace, that don't allow us to sleep at night. The sins don't allow barakah to come into our life. Yes, the whole ummah is afflicted by these sicknesses and illnesses. The whole ummah, the whole nation, these are such sins. They're severe. And today if you say to somebody, oh, you have backbited, oh, he'll get upset with you. You say, you telling me that I backbite? You think I'm a liar? If you say to somebody more pious and better, you can't even say anything to that person. And I say to them first. I say to them first. Why? Because if they are improved, then the ummah will be improved, alhamdulillah. The ummah will be improved, alhamdulillah. Yes, and then all the people who are spoilt will be gone. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? This is correct what I'm saying? This is good discussion that we're doing? So create a concern, fikr. This humble servant, when he made the tazkiyah systems and sheets, this is what this is all about. Look, what a beautiful idea that we have implemented. Yes, that to leave each and every sin through this system takes years to leave one sin. No worries. Allah Ta'ala will say, Saim Mashkura, that at least you were trying, go, I give you the pass mark, Allah says. At least you realized by sitting with the Sufis, this is what you learn. Because they make you understand and they put you onto the right track so that you start the journey. He started to travel on the journey. That's it. Allah wants the effort. The rest, to get to the end point, destination, Allah, Rabb knows best. Allah says, leave this person. At least he started, he was making an effort. That was enough for him, Allah says. He succeeded, but we don't even want to go on to the path today. That's what we say today. We don't say that you have to be high class, kutub, wali, Allah, all your sins have to be eliminated. No. Who says this? It's not necessary. The teacher just says, look, my son, just keep on walking. Make the effort. Don't stop. Just keep on moving. Keep on moving in the right direction. That's what the sheikh says. Teacher says, 10 years, 15 years, backbiting hasn't gone. No worries. I'm happy. You are very good murid student. Because you are still trying. There's a benefit that the amal that you should be doing, leaving the sins, all of those deeds have been accepted. Otherwise, if you don't make effort, then your good deeds will be rejected because you carry on doing the sins. And he's going into the ditch, all of his good deeds, if he's not making effort to leave the sins. Say subhanAllah. So, is this a benefit of sitting with the Sufi, alhamdulillah, to learn this? So much benefit we get. By sitting with a teacher, a sheikh, you get the benefit. So Allah says that sit with the waliyullah. A person who sits with the waliyullah can never be in loss, never be in loss. This is a fact. If you sit with the waliyullah and you don't become a wali, then you'll become like a waliyullah at least. You'll become like a waliyullah. Some similarities. Is this not the case? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given hikmah and understanding to his friends with his fadl, with his grace. And they put the student onto the right track and they identify the right sickness in the student. Directly they identify the deficiency in the student and put him onto the straight path. This is the benefit. Have you seen that how severe are the sins related to behavior and conduct? Allah has given us the complete list of sins related to behavior. Beware, don't backbite, don't slander, don't have malice, don't be suspicious against someone, don't look at defects in a person, beware, don't slander against anybody. Beware. Don't think negatively of people. And all day long we do this. Everywhere this person is that, backbiting, oh, this person's this, this person's that, fussing. Gossiping. And then tell me, if we have this inside us as insan, then the sicknesses that come, depression and psychological sicknesses and issues and worries, so many things a person's afflicted with due to the sins. Yes? And we don't identify them. We say, no, we're okay. That person said this against me, he did this against me, so I spoke against him. Maybe he did this, do this wrong, suspicion against that person. I'm not wrong, the person would say, maybe he did this. So this is such a big subject that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imagined. I don't know if you agree with me or not, possibly, but I'll say this anyway. Maybe you don't agree. For this purpose, for this reason, Allah's beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah took him onto the Mi'raj, onto the great journey. And what happened in the Mi'raj, during the Mi'raj, the ascension to the heavens? What happened during this blessed journey? That did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to show to the people of the world the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the Mi'raj incident? And did the Prophet did Allah want to say that Rasulullah is very high, such a high maqam he's got because he went to the heavens? Was this the reason? One night he went on such a lengthy journey. Did Allah want to prove this? Who are we talking about here? Think about, yes, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. Yes, who are we talking about here? So an ummati of his was told that go and bring his throne of the king. He said that bring it within a blink of the eyes. 3,000 miles away, the eye blinked and the throne came within that time. This was that prophet, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Allah's Habib, the beloved of Allah, then was this a big thing for him? To show the Mi'raj. So maybe you will agree with me or not, but listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. So we would think about this, oh look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at his glory, his status, he went on the Mi'raj. This doesn't prove his status. Oh, he went on Mi'raj, lengthy journey. And so why do we use this? He saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's ikhtilaf amongst the companions on this. There was ikhtilaf, difference of opinion. Yes, but this is nothing. These aren't points to prove the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who are we speaking about here when we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who are we speaking about? Okay, I'll give you an example. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he wasn't Siddiq, he was Abu Bakr at that time. When this event was presented to him, shared with him, obviously, like today, all of us, people said, oh, such a big thing is being said in one night. He went to the heavens. He went to this journey. He rose and the doors opened up for him and Jibreel alayhi salam took him and he saw this. How did this happen? All the people started making noise. Such a big point they made of it. So they said, right, let's go to Siddiq and see what answer he'll give when we present this story to him. Subhanallah. That's why we say Siddiq was Siddiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq. Who could understand the greatness of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Could anyone understand his greatness, his status, his understanding? So when the people of Quraysh went, all the kuffar got together, the people who had no faith, and those who debated and had doubt and used to reject the haq, they said, this can never be even today. There are many of them who reject this. This can't happen. How can this be that this event took one man, he went to the heavens in one night? No, this was a dream, they said. This was a dream. Despite the fact that who were they talking about? Siddiq, when he heard. Yes. Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he was told this event, then with calmness he replied. He said, who are you talking about here? Which individual? They said, your friend. Your friend. He said, my friend you're talking about. They said, oh mad people, he said, this is nothing. I am ready and prepared to accept more greater things than this. This is nothing, this event that you've told me. This is a minor for him to achieve this. A minor. Do you understand what I'm saying or no? You don't understand what I'm saying now. The point I've made. Yes, so night of Mi'raj, subhanAllah, yes, there, it's an event. Look, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, what did she say? The beloved of Allah, who could know more than her? Has Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She said, leave that, you talk about my beloved husband. Where is he? He is with us. But he isn't with us in reality. He's physically with us. And she said this, that always, he is so occupied in dhikr. Every moment he is occupied in the remembrance of Allah. What's the word? Yadhkuru kullu layani. That every moment, every second he's immersed in dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. What dhikr was that? Maraqaba Rasulullah used to do. Allah, Allah. Was he doing that? Yes. Every position, every place, everywhere. The person when he does maraqaba, he ascends the levels. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every person, when he does dhikr, he's in different level, different maqam. Tajalliyat, a person's lost in the safat and understanding of Allah, the wisdom of Allah. Every person who's doing maraqbain is a different emotion, ismazat. Every person according to his status, his level, his dhikr, effectively changes. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ had the high status. Imagine what his dhikr was. His dhikr was seeing Allah. That was his dhikr. Say subhanAllah. I say, So the point I'm making, maybe you don't agree or not. Maybe you agree or don't. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Put your hands up. Who accepts what I'm saying? Put your hands up. MashaAllah. Ashika Rasool, all of you sitting down, MashaAllah. Lovers of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let's continue. Think for yourselves. So this event, why did it take place then, Miraj? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah wanted to make something apparent to His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam via tabligh, that the Prophet, when he comes, he doesn't come for himself, he comes for the Ummah, the Prophet, the Nabi. Every Nabi came for his nation. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gave to him, he used to implement with his Ummah. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was Rahmatul Lil Alameen, he was the mercy to all of creation. He isn't for one Ummah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even for the ants he came. Even for the birds he came, for the trees he came, for the leaves, even the leaves recognize him. Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Rahmah for the whole of universe, not just human beings, the whole universe. Say Subhanallah. Look at His glory. Can anyone recognize His glory, His status? Jibreel alayhi salam couldn't recognize. He kept on traveling, ascending. One place came, he said, that's it. I can't go beyond here. What happened? He said, that's it. I can't. That my capacity was until here, O Rasulullah. The Rasulullah said, you are Noor, I'm Bashar, I'm human being, you're light. And we're just arguing about this nowadays amongst ourselves, the Ummah. Who was Noor, who's Bashar? Brothers, where have we gone? Where's the Ummah gone? Where's our thinking gone? He said, Jibreel, I'm stopping here. After that, what happened? You can see. There's no story after that. So all of this that occurred, that took place, the Holy Prophet was made apparent to him, that every moment he used to do Mi'raj in reality, say Subhanallah. Every second, every moment of his life was Mi'raj. So this event, this like blink of an eye incident, Allah Ta'ala has demonstrated and illustrated to the Ummah, it was for the Islah of the Ummah, to improve the Ummah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That he came as an example, and via that great example, just to improve the Ummah, Allah put some hikmahs in this incident, in this event of Mi'raj. That the Holy Prophet suffered when it started from Makkah, Ummahani's house, when he went there, and in the Hatim, then when his blessed chest was opened up. It wasn't the first time his heart had been opened up. Why was it washed by the water of Zamzam? Why was he in Umhani's house? And by saying her name, I remember something, that my Hazrat Sahab, in a special place, used to sit in front of Rukna Yemeni, where I spent a lot of my life, in front of the Qam. Once I thought that Allah's Darvish, Wali Allah, sitting here, my Shaykh, in front of the Kaaba. He doesn't go to any other part of the Kaaba or Haram Sharif. Always from day one, Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh, would sit in where there's Rukna Yemeni, diagonally in front of that, he used to sit there. And no other person used to come there. They say, Mafi, oh, this is the Darvish place. Even the big scholars, whether it's Ramadan or Hajj time, so much rush. But that place was specifically, especially for Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh. Because mashallah, even the people of the world recognize the Wali Allah and leave his space. So this Khadim, the servant of Hazab, used to lay the prayer mat down there, and everybody knew me. At that time, everybody knew who I was, what I did. So people from long time, old Arabs from decades ago. So we're talking about Ummahani during the Mi'raj. I'm talking about that incident. So from there, Rasulullah started the journey. So my thought was, once I sat down, I thought, why does Hazrat Sahib sit here? There must be some secret, some reason. It can be not without a reason. Say Subhanallah, that Hazrat Sahib sits here. I said that, mashallah, the Wali Allah, there must be some enjoyment, some realization here. And when Hazrat Sahib used to say in Medina, you know the muazzin, what do we call it? I can't remember exactly. It's where the muazzin gives the azan, that platform, beneath that, the umbrellas that we see there, that behind that satun, that pillar, Hazrat Sahib always used to sit there. Wherever was it, Hajj or Umrah, Ramadan, always the Hazrat Sahib used to sit there. So must be a great secret behind that as well, that what was present there. So I thought for a while, I was pondering, what could be the reason here that Hazrat Sahib always sits here? What's the reason for this? So khair, The people used to sit there, the older people, people from a long time. So I used to ask different people and ask. And one person, he said to me, he said, "Do you know what's the reason?" I said, "What's the reason?" He said, "Let me show you." So that place, I don't know if you go there, that place is there, in front of the Kaaba, Rukn al-Yamani. He said, "Look at all the places around you." And we see the place there, the first platform, Hazrat Sahib used to sit there. Where the Mataf finishes, the first platform, raised place. Yes? So there, what was shown, that all the pillars were there, standing upright. But Umihani's place, there were two pillars there together. One was on one side and one side. In between was the place where Hazrat Sahib used to sit. Quite a wide place, you could say. And he said, "Do you see the difference now?" I said, "Yeah, I can see the physical difference. What is it?" He said, "That let me show you now." And then there was a cloth there ahead. He moved it, and there was a sign, like a sign there on the. He said that here, Umihani, this was the place where the Holy Prophet ﷺ ascended for the Miraj from here. And he showed me that sign in the masjid. So that was the place from where Umihani's house used to be there, where the Prophet ﷺ was resting, and from there he was taken to the Hatim. So I've seen that place, alhamdulillah. If you go there, you can also see that place. And that place is still there, present there. So from here to the Prophet ﷺ was there in the house, then to the Hatim, then on to the Buraq, then the Buraq traveling, that was also seen, then to put his hand on it, then from there to go on the journey to Haram Sharif, to Bayt al-Maqdis, then for the Prophets to come to lead Anbiya in Salah, and then to be the Imam, and then from there to go on the journey, then to go ascend the steps, and then different places, Ziyara in the heavens to see Musa alayhi salam, and then mashallah, he saw all the scenes, and then to go on the further journey ahead of that. So my brothers, all of this that took place, all of this that took place, this was Isla and rectification and improvement for the Ummah, and a message for the Ummah, many messages for the Ummah, each and every turn. And the scholars mentioned in the Bayanah that this was the lesson, from this we get this lesson, that was all for the Ummah, all for the believers, all of that event that took place for the Isla, for the improvement of the Ummah. And from amongst that, the main thing that from the Mushahidah, the experience that the Prophet ﷺ took through in that journey, the most important thing for us, the lesson, the message. Two important things for the Ummah. One, the gift to the human beings, to the servants, through which the insan, in front of his Rabb, he can demonstrate to the high level of servanthood. There's no greater ibadah than that, and that is salah, namaz. Yes, this was the gift of that event. So Allah Ta'ala honored the Ummah with this gift. That Allah, the Rabb, that the connection between Rabb, the Lord, Allah and His servant is the connection of servanthood. And all the greatest action and ibadah that demonstrates servanthood is salah, the greatest. So carefully the person does that. And Allah Ta'ala with care and with love delivered this gift to the Ummah. That so much respect is there in the action of salah. So much respect, so much honor, such an honorable action in the way that it was given, that there's nothing that can compare to this action of salah. Yes? Think about it. A person cannot imagine that there's an ummati, a Muslim, and such a great honor, and he leaves salah. You cannot imagine this. In the heavens, Allah gifted this salah to the ummah. And how did Allah give it? On which maqam? Miraj, during the Miraj. And Allah put the taste into that action. Allah Ta'ala, He gave the situation of salah. Allah says that you, O my ummati, when you, my believer, pray salah, it's like you are doing miraj. It's as if you are seeing me. Because I can see you, it's as if you are seeing me. That's the result of salah. Salah. Namaz. So this action Allah gave to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the second thing, After that, which is the most important thing, what do we draw that from this event? That the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the fact that we see from many hadith the same thing, that he experienced and observed things that were to save the ummah. And what were they? They were the behavioral sins. When the Prophet ﷺ arrived and saw with his eyes, this is the punishment for the person who backbites. This is the punishment for the person who consumes riba, sood, interest. And such people, learned people who give waaz, speech, lectures, what will be their punishment? How will they be raised? What punishment will they be given? Those who consume riba, interest, the immodest woman, what, how will she be punished? The person who backbites, the punishment for that person. The complete, one after the other description of the sins and the punishments the Prophet ﷺ observed. So that clearly 100% the ummah could be saved. And so they could create a concern, an effort. So all behavioral sins, conduct, manners related were, the Prophet ﷺ observed and experienced and saw them. Is this not the case? Tell me in Miraj. So this is Miraj. So in reality of Miraj is this, all of this is the point of Miraj. That my ummah, they can pull themselves together so they can start praying salah. So they can be saved from lying, saved from backbiting. The Prophet ﷺ saw in one place, there was a man, they were hanging, people hanging, and their flesh was being cut. And the flesh was being cut, and they were being given that same flesh to eat. And they were struggling. And the angel was saying, consume this flesh, this meat of yours. Why? Because in the world, did you not consume the flesh of your dead brother? You did, didn't it? Now you eat this flesh. And this is repeated and repeated. Who was that person? Who backbited. That man or woman who backbited. One Prophet ﷺ has seen this with his eyes and he's telling us this. Then was it not enough just for him to tell us? But he observed. And then they asked, why are you doing this? Jibreel ﷺ described why this was happening to them. Even then we carry on backbiting, we don't save ourselves from backbiting. Tell me, how can this be? And those who don't are not saved from backbiting, and the Prophet ﷺ saw with his eyes and he explained that hal, that scene. Will that scene not take place? Or will that person be saved? One nation, the Prophet ﷺ saw, a group of people, and like they had the stomachs blown out of proportion, massive stomachs. They couldn't even get up. They're screaming, shrieking, and Allah, don't bring Qiyamah, Allah, don't bring Qiyamah. This was their punishment. Big bloated stomachs, massive. And then on them, Fir'aun's animals, the worst animals of Fir'aun, they are set free on those people. Set free on those people with their feet and legs, and they're screaming, and this being repeated and repeated. Who are those people? Those people who didn't protect themselves from interest, riba, sood. Those who backbited. People who pick defects out of people, criticize people, and slander against people. Each and every sin was described physically. The Prophet ﷺ observed it, the punishment. So my brothers, success. We need to earn the success for the hereafter by eliminating our behavioral sins. Save yourself from the sins related to conduct, manners and behavior. If you're making effort, then you'll be successful. If you're making effort, you will be successful. And today we are in the day and age of fitna. We are not working hard. -1% even, there's no effort today in this day and age. No one has any importance of this subject that we're discussing today. The whole of Miraj was established. Now do you understand why Miraj was established? The Holy Prophet, not to show the glory and status of the Prophet, rather to save the Ummah. Miraj was, what Miraj took place was, the Prophet's glory was way beyond that. Way beyond this. A new point you will have heard today, mashallah, in this gathering, eh? Why Miraj was established. The new point that's come out today. So you understand what I'm saying? So now let's have a look. To be saved from this situation, what has Allah Ta'ala prepared to be saved, prepared us to be saved from these sins? To be saved from these sins, if we want to be saved, Allah Ta'ala, what solution is He given to us? He must have prepared a solution, isn't it? Don't you think? Allah Ta'ala. So first of all, Allah Ta'ala has prepared, what is that? To save us from this. Is tasawwuf. Allah created tasawwuf, tazkiyah, purification, rectification. Tasawwuf, the subject of tasawwuf, in reality, we haven't understood it. We think tasawwuf is wali Allah, pious servant of Allah, do this, this level is not at all. Tasawwuf equals one thing. My Hazrat Sahib gave a beautiful definition of the word tasawwuf. Hazrat Sahib said tasawwuf and tazkiyah is defined as one thing. That your akhlaqi razila is eliminated and akhlaqi hamida arises in you. That's it. That's tasawwuf. Akhlaqi razila, the wretched akhlaq is eliminated, you work hard and make effort, that is tasawwuf. And that is why tazkiyah and tasawwuf is implemented. There's no other objective to go to a wali Allah, sit in the company of a sheikh. It's a hospital, Qadriya, Chishtiya, Surwardiya, Naqshbandis. These are four different hospitals. Each school has its hospital. And the kamil sheikh, the complete sheikh, they have their own medicines that they formulate. Depends on the mariz, on the patient, what medicine he requires and what suits this patient. Depends, isn't it? The diagnosis. So a student will need this capsule, another student will need surgery, and another student will need this medicine. Depends how bad the sin is inside the person or the effect. So the sheikh identifies what medicine is needed. But the objective is the same, that each and every student, Islah is done, that their akhlaqi razila transforms to akhlaqi hamida, high level good conduct. That's the work of the teacher. As Isa alayhi salam, why did he come? He came. Musa alayhi salam, why did he come? For this reason. All of the Anbiya alayhi salam came to the world only for this purpose. They came to eliminate the akhlaqi razila. Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, when he came to complete the whole effort. And that's why this ummah is the high grade ummah. The whole complete learning, the Prophet came with the kamil complete learning for mankind. Look at this. Everything of the Holy Prophet was complete that he presented to mankind. There's nothing lacking. Nobody was going to come after that. Nothing to be mixed with or contaminated with afterwards. So the tazkiyah, the tasawwuf that's been given to us, alhamdulillah, the tariqah, complete tariqah that has been taught to us. Complete method. So, just have a look. We do tazkiyah here. It depends, whatever desire you have, whatever intention you have, but you should have a clear niyyah that the objective of my life is one, that I need to eliminate the wrong things, bad things in my life and bring good things into me. So where should I go that I can learn this purpose of life? Where? That's the aim and target you need to make in your life. Yeah, that's your mission of life. You don't need kash, you don't need visions, you don't need dreams, you don't need a title, you don't need piety, nothing at all. This is not our life, this is not our objective of life. We don't need none of these things. All of these things are left behind. No one's going to ask you, were you a peer in thereafter, were you a sheikh, were you this, were you pious? No one's, but you'll be asked in thereafter, did you used to backbite, did you used to lie? Did you used to be greedy? This is what you will be asked in thereafter. That your tongue, is it pure or is it dirty? To attain this level, Allah's created a complete formula. This is the main purpose of life. If you don't achieve this objective, then you've wasted your life. All your ibadat will go down the drain. All of the base of Islam and the base of your purpose of life, has Allah Ta'ala not prepared a method to achieve this target? Of course Allah Ta'ala has. It's the great preparation Allah has made for us. A solution. So when a human being wants, that he wants to do his Islah, he wants to improve himself, then he should run towards the solution. Look, you should go. For example, if you go to a place of learning, then you must go and look for that teacher so that nothing is left, that there's no particle on you that's left impure. Oh, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. You should totally identify and assess. Wherever you find the teacher and you think that this medicine suits me, then stick yourself to that teacher. But if after going that, then don't make too noise and complain and make a fuss. Because that's shaitaniyat after that. Once you select the teacher, the guide, the solution, look, assess, investigate for your Islam. But it has to be your intention Islam. Not that he gives great dars, great speeches. No connection with your Islam is darus and beyond. Rather, you need to think, how much inside me am I purifying myself? Yes, from the words of this teacher, how much internally are my sins being removed? How much are the sins being decreased? How much love of the Prophet ﷺ is increased in my life through the company of this teacher? That's what you need to have as the targets, the criteria. How much has sunnah come into your life? The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This is the purpose. These are the criteria you should set. Now he gives great ma'ad and lectures. I enjoy listening to him. What great points technical. He has knowledge. Oh, he's a big shot scholar. Oh, what's the benefit of looking for these things? What benefit will this give to you in your hereafter? Will it give you any benefit? Looking for a teacher with these qualities? No. I went there, alhamdulillah, such a beautiful words. The teacher said that all my sins have come out of my life. This is the target you need to have. A person I get satisfied when I go there. I'm at peace, I'm content. Hazrat sat was quietly, but even then I'm at peace. I don't feel like doing any sins after I leave Hazrat Sahib's company. End of story. Not this, oh, I see him and I feel like this, I feel high. The first effect of Islam that Allah Ta'ala has prepared is that the behavioral sins are eliminated through the company of the teacher. If you are feeling this, my Hazrat Sahib used to say this statement, that if day and night you do dhikr of Allah, and say you do 1,000,000 tasbihs, but remember this point, if via your dhikr, your sins are being eliminated and you have love and attraction for good deeds, your dhikr is accepted. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Waste of time. So this is what the Quran tells us. The Quran, by doing tadabbur on the Quran, pondering the Quran, you come towards amal, practice. By reading Quran, it's noor ala noor then after that. Otherwise, be ready for the punishment. The same Quran will stand on the day of judgment and say that this person was a liar. He didn't implement me. He read me, the Quran will say, but he didn't practice me. He used to read the Quran for dunya. He used to read the Quran or do the actions for the fame in the dunya. If he used to read the Quran due to me, the Quran will say that on every verse he would have fikr. How do I practice this? How shall I take this out of my life? How shall I do this? How shall I leave this? Do you understand my point? Say subhanAllah. Yes, there will be great accounts. And thereafter, Sari'ul Hisab. Allah say, what's this, what's this, what's this? Very soon I will do the Hisab, Allah says. Very soon, to the smallest action, every single second, whatever name Allah gave, these old names Allah has given to us, treasures. Allah says, I'll come from the dhikr name Allah has given to you. Allah says, I'll take the Hisab. That this dhikr that you were given after doing dhikr, did you leave the sins? Did you? Or was it just a habit that you did dhikr? Or was it for fame you did dhikr? Or was it you just counted? You wanted to do the counting of dhikr of Allah? Yes, why didn't you say to your sheikh that my sins are not going? Why did you just stay there silently? Why did you keep on talking rubbish and nonsense in your life? Okay, if you didn't succeed in one place, then go to second place, third place. But Allah said, I gave you Naqshbandi, Qadri, Sorwardi, Chishti, all four schools and many branches that come away from there. Yes, we have all the branches today of all the schools. Allah said, I gave you many opportunities, but where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you to one place, to the court of a sheikh or a place of learning, totally correct place, then that student's a thief himself. He doesn't want to be improved and he complains against the sheikh. Oh, I don't feel like going there. I don't want to listen there. Oh, he's mad. He doesn't say anything. There's nothing felt there. Then you are earning double sin by doing this. Yes, you're in more danger after that. No, understand your situation. Brothers, if you want to be successful in the hereafter, let's go back to our subject of today. If you want goodness in the hereafter, the biggest success in the hereafter is what? Is to be saved from hell. To make effort to be saved from hell. And the biggest effort to be saved from hell is to leave the sins, to save yourself from the sins. And the biggest sins are the behavioral sins. And the behavioral sins, to save yourself from them, how will you be saved? By following the method of tazkiyah. And tazkiyah, to attain tazkiyah, where will you need to go? To the education center of the Wali Allah. That's it. That's the summary of what we've discussed today. And if we do all of this and even then it's hard for us to relieve the sins, then don't worry. You are successful, beyond successful. Don't need to be afraid. You're trying, you're working hard. You understand what I'm saying? MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Very understand, people of understanding. So let's start effort from tomorrow. Okay? The sheets, those who are not enrolled on the sheets, make your sheets, enroll onto the sheet system. And if you haven't got tazkiyah here, then go and look for it somewhere. If you got tazkiyah here, then take benefit of it. Okay? For this reason is said, that keep the Shaykh at that place, keep the teacher at that place where you live, where your abode is, make the general practitioner, GP, surgery, near to you. You don't have to drive there by car. My GP is in Blackpool and I live here. I've got a heart attack, then where will I go? To the GP. Oh, he's so far and he's finished before he gets there. So here, if a sin's attached to you, stuck to your body, to your life, yes, and if you complain, oh, my Shaykh is thousands of miles away, he's in some other city or far off country. Yes, that poor Shaykh, what will he do? Where Allah Ta'ala sent you, the nation you're in, seek the Shaykh with aqeedah and muhabbat, the teacher that Allah guides you to, but at least do your islah, your improvement. Okay, maybe if you remain empty though, remember this is the statement of the pious elders, that person who remains empty, who doesn't go towards the tarbiyat of a shaykh, then he is in the hands of shaytan, because he has no waris. He has no waris after him, nobody to continue. He's just in this trap and this hole, in this trap, in this ditch, he's in the darkness, he's attached to the sins, attached to the sins. So be serious as a human being, make preparation for the hereafter, prepare for the hereafter, and I've told you all the steps. So what have I told to you? I've just told myself, not you, because I have to prepare my own self. I have to prepare myself, and I'm just discussing that with you. So have be determined, be courageous. Very quickly, the life is moving to the end like the ice melts. The day that went yesterday is gone, finished, not going to come back. If that's not going to come back, rather, the day today, the day that's gone, it's not going to come back, it's gone. Yes, Allah Ta'ala says that book is gone. The angels right and left are sitting next to us, they're listening. They've closed the book of today, yesterday. So talk about now. Now, that's here and now. And those where you were lazy and negligent, be istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness, then be assured in the journey with the teacher that I'm not going to commit these sins again. Be full effort into this. Fill in the sheets, complete the sheets, be attentive, complete them. Follow the system. Fill them. And be regular in sending them. There's a lot of barakah and blessings. Allah's assistance. Allah's help for his human being. And never criticize. Always be positive. Don't be negative. Inshallah, you'll be successful. Inshallah, you'll be successful. Just like my Shaykh said, we'll go towards that. We'll be successful. I'll go towards that statement. Don't lose heart. And the rest, the necessities of the world, fine. Use the time, protect yourself, and live in this dunya, and live the life. That's it. Protect yourself. You have to work, you have to travel, go somewhere. Be careful always, one thing. Wherever you are, everything should be halal, and everything should be within the boundaries of Shariat. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala hasn't prohibited you from anything. Allah hasn't prohibited you saying, don't go anywhere in the world, no job. Every single thing Allah has made permissible, but that one thing Allah has kept, that it should be within the realms of Sharia, within Allah Ta'ala's principles and law. There's no loss in that if it's within the boundaries of Sharia. Whoever has gone against the Sharia, then he's drowned, he's gone. Yes, Allah Ta'ala hasn't prohibited anything. Whoever Allah Ta'ala wants to give to you, then he'll give to you everything within the boundary of Sharia. The question doesn't arise that what's in your destiny and you won't receive it. If you're in your destiny, you're going to be a millionaire, then Allah will make you the millionaire in your destiny, within the boundaries of Shariat, within His boundaries. Why do we go out of the circle of Sharia? To earn more money, to become more wealthy. No, stay within the circle of Shariat, and whatever is destined for you will definitely arrive to you. Why should we go out of that circle, out of that boundary? Be careful of what is permissible, what's not permissible. I told you about interest. What is the severe punishment for interest? Riba. The punishment was shown in Miraj. There was a group of people like mad. You know, like the jinns and the ghosts, they stick to a person. They're screaming and shrieking. They're pulling their hair. And who are these people? And the angels replied, these were those who consumed riba. This is their hal. This is their hal, like animals. So all of this was observation of the Prophet ﷺ. Immodest women were shown in a well. They were in a cauldron. They were hanging upside down naked. And the fire was burning in the pit, in the cauldron. And then it would devour them. They screamed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, who are these? And the angel replied, the immodest woman in your ummah who took off their parda. This is Miraj. That we keep talking about the glory of the Prophet ﷺ and his status was proven. Don't talk about the Prophet ﷺ's status, talk about the observations and the scenes that he saw that the Prophet ﷺ's ummah was taught. We need to revive this. His maqam was way beyond every day he did miraj, every moment he did miraj. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Come on, let's do dhikr of Allah. You recite the rushi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع طه ياسين حبيب اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرضنا اللهم اغفنا في بدني اللهم اغفنا في سمي اللهم اغفنا في بصري لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم ربهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.